Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Guntrat Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Text 22. Nitya Atmavyaya Shuddha. Sarvaga sarvavitpadaha date savatmano lingam mayaya vishvijangunan nitya atgunan. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The spirit soul, the living entity, has no death, for he is eternal and inexhaustible. Being free from material contamination, he can go anywhere in the material or spiritual worlds. He is fully aware and completely different from the material body. But because of being misled by misuse of his slight independence, he is obliged to accept subtle and gross bodies created by the material energy and thus be subjected to so-called material happiness and distress. Therefore, no one should lament for the passing of the spirit soul from the body. Please repeat. The spirit soul, the living entity, has no death, for he is eternal and inexhaustible. Hiranyakashipu very intelligently described the position of the soul. Maybe you should take him with you on Sankirtan. He's a very good preacher, Hiranyakashipu. The soul is never the body, but is always completely different from the body. Being eternal and inexhaustible, the soul has no death. But when the same pure soul desires to enjoy the material world independently, he is placed under the conditions of material nature and must therefore accept a certain type of body and suffer the pains and pleasures thereof. This is also described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Karanam gunasangasya sarasadyoni janmasu. The living entity is born in different families or species of life because of being infected by the modes of material nature. When conditioned by material nature, the living entity must accept a certain type of body, which is offered by nature under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hride sherjunatishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. Quote, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Bhagavad Gita 18:61, end quote. The body is just like a machine, and according to the living entity's karma, he is offered a particular type of machine to move here and there under the control of material nature. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? He's given a body to move here and there, and yet he's under the control of material nature. This continues until he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Until he surrenders, the conditioned soul is carried from life to life by the arrangement of material nature. So Prabhupada is very complimentary towards Hiranyakashipu. He says Hiranyakashipu very intelligently described the position of the soul. So this is, in one sense, a very high level of intelligence. Hiranyakashipu is preaching very expertly very effectively, very powerfully, very succinctly to his family's brother, Hiranyaksha's, who has been killed by Lord Vishnu, his relatives, his wife and others. This is very powerful preaching. And if you look at it, as we are, there's no difference between this and Bhagavad Gita. There's no difference at all. In fact, in some ways, there's more detail. He says the living entity in his pure form, he has no death at all. And he can go anywhere in the material or spiritual worlds. I mean, we know of rare cases like Durvasa Muni or Narada Muni of individuals who do just go wherever they want in the material world or in Vaikuntha. But it's very rare. And yet, Hiranyakashipu seems to have, we don't know how much realization he has of this, but he's explaining it very, very well, which indicates some realization. So we may conclude that he's a self-realized soul. So then we have this contradiction. We have this paradox. We have this question. How is it that a demon who is so vehemently, viciously against Krishna can speak such elevated philosophy? Of course, we also know that Prabhupada says even the Mayavadis, they are very expert in philosophy. The expert Mayavadis, Prabhupada indicated, could defeat us. They know Bhagavad Gita backwards and forwards by memory, and so much of the Vedanta. So they're very good in philosophy. But does that mean that they get the result of the Vedanta? What does Vedanta say? The result is, Krishna says himself, 15:15, is to understand me. Vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. To know me. And it's even more astonishing when we consider what's going to happen later on in this chapter, because as Hiranyakashipu continues to preach, he tells a story about how Yamaraj was also preaching. There was one particular king, I forget his name, and he had been killed on the battlefield. He was a very chivalrous king, he was very powerful, but he was killed by his enemies. And his wife and children, and his many wives actually, they were lamenting, and they wouldn't let anyone take the body away, because normally a body, if it's killed in the daytime, if someone leaves the body, the body, according to proper ritual and ceremony, should be dealt with and cremated, or whatever it's done with it, during the day, before the sun sets. And if someone leaves the body at night, that ritual should be done before the sun rises. So they're very strict rules for the benefit of the soul who's just left that body, because in this case with this king, he was actually hovering there. So they were so attached, they said, oh, we're not going to let anyone, they were trying to somehow either call the soul back or get some benediction that their husband could live again. And Yamaraj, he took the form of a little boy to go and preach to them. And in the story, he mentions that ultimately everyone should understand the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says that. And Hiranyakashipu is relating that pastime, that Yamaraj took that form as a little boy, because little boys, generally when they speak philosophy, people tend to listen much more. They're very attractive, and people listen much more readily. So how is it, we might ask, that Hiranyakashipu, who is denying the very existence of the Supreme Lord, and he may acknowledge that Vishnu exists, but he doesn't accept that he's supreme. He thinks that he's supreme, and he's ready to destroy Vishnu because, of course, he's more powerful than Vishnu. And yet Hiranyakashipu, he's going to be relating the story of Yamaraj in the form of the boy talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's inconceivable. And I won't talk about it anymore, because Prabhupada doesn't actually talk about it. Prabhupada doesn't mention that particular point. Prabhupada focuses on the qualities of the soul and the philosophy, which is so valuable that spoken by anyone. Now, Hiranyakashipu, he has, and Prabhupada says clearly, it's important to know that we're not the body. It's important to know that the, as Prabhupada says, the soul is never the body in any way, shape, or form. There is a connection, but there is no similarity. So we should understand. There is connection. Do you know what that connection is called? The connection between the soul and the body? Ahankar. Yes. And in one place, Prabhupada says, the ahankar, the false ego, is neither material nor spiritual. But somehow, by Krishna's inconceivable potency, there is connection. But there's never any similarity. Because there's connection does not mean there's any mixing or any similarity whatsoever. The soul is always completely pure. Now, it's conditioned. And Prabhupada says, because in 1973, there was one disciple of Prabhupada who wrote him a letter asking some questions. And Prabhupada said, it's not actually the soul that becomes conditioned. It's the consciousness that becomes polluted or contaminated with the different modes of nature. And he says, in the modes of passion and ignorance, the forgetfulness is the greatest. But by the influence of the mode of goodness, the soul becomes strong, or the consciousness becomes stronger. And by the association of pure devotees, he becomes the strongest. So there's never any dilution of the soul. The body is always the body, and the soul is always the soul. Always different. He's always completely different from the body. So even though someone like Hiranyakashipu, or ourselves for that matter, may understand that, we may even realize that, it's not enough. We have to apply that. We have to act as spirit souls. And as we continue through the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that we're not just spirit souls, but we are part of the Supreme Soul. The soul doesn't exist independently. It doesn't, as the Mayavadis would say, just comes from nothing or from nowhere. No, the soul comes from somewhere. The soul comes from the source, just like the drop of water comes from the ocean. If you study the drop of water from the ocean, even though it's very small, you can understand the entire ocean because the quality is the same. You have the liquidity. It's wet and it's salty. So by understanding ourselves, we can understand Krishna. But the point is that we come from Krishna. We're connected with Krishna. We're part of Krishna. We're servants of Krishna. So that the gradual development of the self-realized soul goes way beyond, even though it may be a very high level to understand I'm not the body. If I understand I'm not the body or the mind, I'm liberated. In one sense, materially speaking, that's a very high level of existence. But for the fully self-realized soul, who knows that he's servant of Krishna, he or she is servant of Krishna, and engages it, it's like in terms of pleasure, the Brahmananda, the pleasure realized or felt, experienced by realization of Brahman, that I'm Brahmasmi, is like the little bit of water in the hoofprint of a calf compared to the great ocean, which is compared to the nectar of devotion, the ocean of pleasure derived from serving Krishna. So in the same way, even though understanding and acting like a spirit soul is a very high level of existence, it's nothing. It's very low compared to acting as servants. So just try to understand what Prabhupada has given us. He's given us, of course, Bhagavad Gita gives us both. But we don't stop the I aham brahmasmi. We quickly go to engaging in the activities of the soul. Mayavadis say, don't engage in any activities because activities are maya. Don't enjoy the rasgulas because you might become attached. But Prabhupada popped a sweet ball in his mouth and said, we will go back to Godhead on our stomachs. So when we're part of our service, especially in this age, is course, to chant Hare Krishna ourselves and develop more and more in the realization of who we are and in how to engage in devotional service accordingly in the association of more advanced devotees. We also simultaneously want to give that knowledge to others. And especially this time of year, you're doing that very actively, distributing Srila Prabhupada's most precious and profound transcendental recorded realizations, his recorded ecstasies, I should say, Prabhupada called them. And so when we try to engage people by offering them Srila Prabhupada's books, somehow developing some exchange with them as Avina Nirada Prabhu was saying the other day, at least being friendly and having them feel good about us, feeling friendly, feeling comfortable with us, even if they don't take a book, we want to bring them closer to this knowledge that they're not the body. And someone who chants Hare Krishna even once, that's a sign of surrender. What to speak of touching the book or appreciating the devotees or liking you, feeling respected, feeling appreciated, feeling served, feeling attracted, feeling happy in your association. That may be the beginning of their spiritual life. Here in India, in Mumbai, of course, most people have probably said Hare Krishna or heard Hare Krishna because of the wonderful preaching going on here. So we want to take them to the next level. And so that's surrender. As Prabhupada says in the end of the purport, that the cycle, the continual obligation of taking body after body and suffering and the ignorance of being without Krishna and old age and disease and death and birth again, is when one unless and until one surrenders to Krishna. So we want to facilitate people in their surrender to Krishna. So the more expert we become, we can understand where the person is at. And according to the time, the place, the circumstance, to their consciousness, we can give them we can find the next step for them. It may be taking a book, it may not be. But the more we can understand and adjust our consciousness and attract them to take that next step, the more we're bringing them closer to surrendering to Krishna. Of course, that in one sense, that is surrender to Krishna. By accepting service of any kind, even agyata sukriti, unknown devotional service, just like I was visiting your wonderful hospital here yesterday, Bhaktivedanta Hospital. I was so overwhelmed by the wonderful preaching being done there, taking care of people like that. With Prabhupada there, the whole place is just like a temple. You know better than I do. And they told me that, and they have one department there, that it's not food for life, it's, what's it called? Yes. And the government is giving, I think, for every student that's fed, 75 pice per meal or per day. So the government is giving money for prasadam distribution. And what does that mean? That whether the government officials are conscious of it or not, the government itself is being purified. They're performing agyata sukriti. Maybe they're aware, maybe they're not, but they're engaging in devotional service. So the entire government, at least of this state, Maharashtra, right, is being purified. They're being engaged in devotional service. Can you imagine what effect that's having in the whole state? What to speak of the children who are getting the prasadam? What to speak of you who are distributing it, cooking it, whatever, offering it? So the effect is incomprehensible. Just because someone named His Holiness Radhanath Swami came here and has struggled ever since to give you Srila Prabhupada. Now, I'm in a very advantageous position right now because Maharaj told me that he was going to be in his room resting but listening to every word. I said, thank you, Maharaj. you'll keep me on my toes. I'll have to be very careful with what I'm saying. But the other advantage is that I can say a lot of wonderful things about him without him being here to stop me. So I could talk all day about Maharaj and the indebtedness I feel, but I'll probably start crying, so I won't be able to talk very much. But I feel like Maharaj is saving me. And maybe he's the agent of Prabhupada to do that, but that's the fact for me. By his example, and I met one wonderful Mataji from America, Mother Rajalila, who I've heard a lot about yesterday. I was able to, fortunate Krishna arranged, I was able to meet her yesterday on the way to the hospital. And she was making another very nice point that I appreciated afterwards, that of course Maharaj has made it all happen. At the same time, you are also making it happen. So many sincere souls coming to engage in the service being offered here. So I am just overwhelmed. And it's very obvious to me that by Maharaj's and your example of taking the basic process of chanting Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, so seriously. It is the Yuga Dharma. It is all we have to do, in one sense. That doesn't mean we don't do anything else, but it means that by doing that with more and more focus, complete attention, as Maharaj exemplifies for us every single day, to be sold out completely in the hearing of the Holy Name and giving up offenses more and more and more, we get the understanding, we get the knowledge, we get the energy, we get the facility, because Krishna is there. Look at the opulence of just this very room. I mean, you may be a little bit used to it and familiar to it, with it, but I come here, it's like Dwarka. And where there is opulence like this, where there is abundance, where there is Lakshmi like this, it's only because Narayan, Krishna, is here. Where there is Krishna, where there is Narayan, there will automatically be Lakshmi. There will be, as Krishna says, where there is Arjuna and where there is Krishna, there will be opulence, victory, success. What else? Nitti. All these things. So Krishna is there when we chant. This is, Lord Chaitanya said, there is no other way to have Krishna present. By chanting the Maha Mantra and engaging in the Sankirtan movement of sharing that, spreading that with others, making others fortunate, then Krishna is present. And when where there's Krishna, everything else, it becomes like the spiritual world. Prabhupada said, this world, by the spreading of the Sankirtan movement, will become like the Satyayug, like Vaikuntha. So the more we chant, by carefully, consciously giving up, I know myself, just being here for the last few days, I'm seeing that my two particular offenses I commit very often, regularly, are being inattentive and not having full faith that everything, that I will be satisfied, that I don't have to remain, I don't have to hold on to my sense enjoyment, my attachment. And even that my faith is not very strong. By being in the association of Maharaj and you all here, then I become more clear again. I become reminded, yes, I can give up this offense. I can surrender fully. I can accept with full faith. I don't even know what full faith is, but I know I can get there. But just by the chanting and by avoiding the offenses. So just by being here in your association, I'm seeing at least, especially these two offenses, which are very, at least for me, very major ones. So I was also realizing that although Prabhupada explains very clearly that the vani of the spiritual master is the most important thing, I'm realizing by being here physically, I remember I was in Vrindavan for most of Kartik. I came from New Zealand, went to Vrindavan after about 6 years of not being here. Had one wonderful experience in Vrindavan for most of Kartik. Then I went to Mayapur for almost 2 weeks, which was also wonderful. Then I went to Jagannath Puri for a few days, and it was wonderful as well. And then I was praying to all the deities and Srila Haridas Thakur's Samadhi and Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. I'm going to leave the Dhamma again. Please, don't let me slip like I usually do. And then I came here, and it was just again like being in the Dhamma. And it is the Dhamma, of course, but I could experience that. So I was thinking that even though the vani is the instructions are most important, we don't minimize that. But I realized that my physical association, sitting next to Maharaj and seeing how he is chanting so wonderfully, so giving himself fully to that struggle to be fully absorbed, and you're all following that example. That physical presence for me is very, very effective. It makes a big difference. So I should not put myself on the level that, oh, if I just read Prabhupada's books or I just follow the instructions. Of course, part of the instructions is to associate with more advanced devotees, but I was just having that realization that the physical presence for me still has a huge effect. And if I'm honest about that, then I'll come back here more often. I told Maharaj, I want to live here forever in your association. And it's not a physical thing. It's association is not physical, but we have the bodies, and we're using the bodies for Krishna, so that physical effect, being here physically, geographically, even sitting close, we shouldn't deny that power or the effect that it has. Prabhupada said, for him, he used the royal we, but he meant himself, he could live under a tree and be Krishna conscious. But people will not cannot live like that. They won't appreciate. So we build the big temples to attract them. So our eyes can be attracted by the opulence, by the beauty of Radha Gopinath and Shishi Gornatai. Lord Chaitanya himself, his most powerful shakti with the Mayavadis was his personal physical, not physical, but his apparently physical beauty. Gorison, the golden dancer, it was specifically his beauty. So we should appreciate that. And someone may say, well, this is all material, but it's not. It's used for Krishna, so it's also spiritual. So our material eyes are being engaged in the spiritual service. Just like the Archivigraha, Krishna appears in the form of the deity so that we can use our present materially contaminated senses to be purified in serving him in that form. Whereas the Mayavadis or the Arya Samajis, they say, oh no, this is mundane. No deity worship. It's almost like the Christians. Oh, it's idol worship. And of course we know it's not a graven image made up out of someone's imagination. It comes from Shastra. Krishna himself describes his form, and therefore the great devotees. They follow the ceremonies and the rituals in creating the form and installing that form. And that is because it's bona fide, Krishna is fully present. And we get to take advantage of that presence in that apparently material form, which is not material at all. Prabhupada said, if you serve the deity and accept him, that he is the Supreme Personality of God, fully present, one day he will speak to you. Maybe he's spoken to some of you already. He's actually speaking to us all the time. We just have to open our ears. So there's lots more to say, but we'll finish there and take any comments or questions, realizations, whatever.
In the translation, it says that the living entity can go anywhere. So the little understanding I have of a pure devotee's liberation is he enters the spiritual world and he doesn't ever know that he was in the material world. So he just stays with Krishna. Is that what a pure devotee does because he's in love with Krishna so much that he just wants to stay and reside with Krishna? So I guess what I'm asking is does that apply mainly to non-devotees when... You understand what I'm trying to say? Like, the living entity that travels aimlessly wherever he wants, outside of Vaikuntha.
I'm not really clear on your question.
The question is, I guess, like, when does this apply? You know, the living entity just roaming around.
Yes. Good, good. Very good question. I understand what you mean. Hiranyakashipu is talking about this pure spirit soul. That in his pure form, in his pure unconditioned state, he can travel anywhere. Now, at the same time, there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says that the spirit soul is all-pervading. But it's not quite the same thing. It means that the spirit soul can be anywhere, even in the material nature. Oceanographers have gone to the bottom of the ocean and found volcanic-type crevices where super hot, more than boiling water is coming out, and they've analyzed that water and found living entities in this place where normally they thought no living entity could be. And as we know from Bhagavad Gita also, Prabhupada says there are living entities who live in the fire. So does that answer your question? Good question. Thank you. Anything else? Any realizations to share? Ladies, any questions or realizations? Please be generous. Brahmacharis, I'm sure you have something to offer, something to share. Any new Sankirtan stories? Someone like to share? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Kuntraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Shri Gauranitai ki. Shri Gopalnachi ki. Shri Shri Radhagopinath ki. His Holiness Radhanath Swami ki. Harinam Sankirtan ki. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Literature Distribution ki. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.